Welcome back to Feels Like Weezer, where we're discussing all of Weezer's tracks, song by song, track by track, through their whole discography. And I'm Eric Nash from Almost Famous Minute.
And my name is Martin David Tapia. I'm an amateur musician and songwriter. And Eric, what song are we talking about today?
Yeah, that's right. I kind of almost stumbled a little bit there for a moment, I think. And but we aren't actually talking about any one song today. We are talking about the Red Album, or Weezer, as it's also known.
Yes, Weezer, parentheses, the Red Album. Self-titled, yeah, I don't know
yeah
how we say it, but yeah, the Red Album in the common parlance. Yeah, and it's a very special episode.
Yeah. Uh-oh, which of us is doing drugs? Or got touched?
Okay. Oh, boy. I think it's me, okay. I want to say.
Okay. there won't be any little song snippet or anything like that to play here. But nonetheless, we will, maybe something else will be played here. Ooh.
Hello, it's yours truly, Martin David Tapia, coming to you from my very own kitchen. I'm just popping in here real quick for two reasons. The first reason is that right after this little interstitial snippet, Eric and I are about to start talking about somebody named Zach. The Zach in question here is Zach Fricking Smith, the original co-host of the Feels Like Weezer podcast, in case you don't know. Zach had to step down from his co-hosting duties some time ago due to the fact that he had a second child, and he was too busy raising his offspring and caring for them to be talking about the rock band Weezer on a podcast every so often. But he did stay with us in a capacity as editor until very recently. Sadly for us, great for him, Zach got a new job that is even more demanding on his time. So he's an even busier, busy boy. And he will no longer be editing the podcast, and that responsibility will fall to me. So that's why you're hearing me now. I get to splice myself into the episode anytime I want and talk at you about any issues that I think need to be addressed. For all you Zach heads, I'm sorry, I'm not Zach. I'll never be Zach, but I will endeavor to be a sort of a Mike Nelson character to Zach's original Joel. And I'm going to do my best. And probably this won't be the last that we ever hear of Zach on the Feels Like Weezer podcast. So keep your ears peeled to the skies for the voice of Zach Fricking Smith in the future. Okay, and that brings us to the second reason why I'm here. I wrote a little song, like a little theme song for the Red Album special episode. It's called Red Album Special, and it goes a little something like this.
Red Album Special. Red Album Special. Red Album Special.
To the show.
This is our usual thing that we've been doing, Zach and I have been doing, and we're going to continue on, unfortunately, without Zach. We thought he might be able to come on for this one, but no. But so he may record something really quick or something for at some point in the episode and insert it, but that'd be interesting to hear for us especially. Later on.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of any episode, if Zach just kind of pops in for a second and puts his little his cute little voice in any episode. I get happy.
Or the other fun part is when we actually hear from him while he's doing the editing itself, and he goes, "Oh, you guys, why didn't you talk about this, or why did you talk about this?" Yeah. Either of those is kind of weird. But nonetheless, so we're kind of just going to do a bit of a run through, just give some general initial overview thoughts, I think, and I don't think it'll be too big of an episode, but we'll give our take on what kind of happened in the lead up and so forth. Is there anything you'd want to start out talking about for this?
Not super too much. I was trying to, getting ready for this episode, put myself in a kind of 2008 mindset.
Okay, wow. Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to remember what was going on back then. And 2008 doesn't seem crazy that it was, that was like, 13 years ago or something? 12? Mm-hmm. Am I doing the math right?
Yeah, 13 for us now talking. Hopefully that's still the case for when this gets released.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not too far out. Well, some of the big stuff, actually a little pre-2008, I think we should kind of talk about a little bit, is that, you know, it's from the, you know, the 2005, you know, Make Believe and the tour that happened then, supporting that album. You know, that's a pretty big time period of 3 years, from 2005 to 2008. And apparently back then, you know, I don't think I was that clued in, but there was this, seems like there was this, you know, unsuredness of what was happening with Weezer, because it was going on that long. It was taking that much time. Were they breaking up was apparently a decent thing, or a decently big thing. And then, I mean, even, whether it was fans or non-fans or whatever, but maybe kind of speculating, I mean, so certainly non-fans are aware of other bands, and do postulate about the state of various bands sometimes. But there are forums. There, you know, the internet was certainly still in its infancy. But MySpace was even a thing at that point too. Yep. Definitely in the Weezerpedia here that I have open right now on my screen. But I also have Wikipedia itself too, and so forth. But I know at one point earlier in the research. Getting ready for this, I know MySpace was at least mentioned once in the rundown of kind of things that were happening around this time. And MySpace was huge for bands, of course, especially in the latter days of that social network as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It seemed like it, you know, became pretty much band friendly only. You know, otherwise everyone else had left for decent reasons, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
But hey, we all got very lucky, you know, for what's happened for the latter, or as you mentioned, 13 years since 2008 itself. Now we've had quite a few albums since then, but we are just talking about this one here, Red Album.
I thought you were saying we were lucky in terms of social media. I was I don't know about that one.
I got off of that little tangent.
Gotcha.
This one other crazy thing, this is one big thing I kind of noted in my notes, is that, you know, so there's essentially like these kind of three different kind of alternative-ish albums or album names and maybe concepts or what have you. So the first one, I mean, we could talk about if you're up for it, album 6 and what's involved there. again, it's a, you know, there's that social media aspect, but even, you know, not exactly social media, just a website in general. So apparently there was this, album 6, you know, spelled with a 6 spelled out, apparently, .com website that was created apparently by fans, not Weezer. it was seemingly trying to, the website creators, the fans, seem to kind of want to make other fans think it's a real website by the band. So Carl and other people, I think, in the band too, probably at points dismissed it, said, apparently the quote is, honestly had no idea, unquote, yeah, what it was about.
But it was just set up by a few internet pranksters, and for reasons unknown. Nobody knows to this day, yeah, right, who these particular internet pranksters were. But I guess that's kind of a funny thing to do, maybe. It was a different time.
There are apparently usernames, I guess, on other in other places or somewhere. King of the County and Lord of the Manor were the two. usernames.
Where are they
least.
Today?
Yeah,
where are they now?
Who those real people are? Apparently, we don't know. Correct. And then you know, and you know, part of I guess what they did kind of do is like you know. Maybe this is kind of when I think that you know something that we I think we know a bit more about today, but and the first little hints of that this other demo recordings called Alone, the home recordings of Rivers Cuomo. Apparently, this kind of got you know through this website. Apparently, kind of came to fruition. So somehow they were aware of. These demo recordings and it got put out in this way through that website.
Wow, very interesting. Yeah. This puts me on a course of thought that you know does anybody ever Ooh. Say that album6.com was an inside job? Is this a
well? Yeah, I mean they certainly they seem to say it wasn't, but of course that's what you would say if it was an inside job. You know,
yeah, very interesting. You know. Well, again, we'll never know, but it's a cool little, cool little side fact as relating to Weezer self-titled parentheses, aka the Red Album.
Mm-hmm. And then there's essentially you know two besides just album six as a weird, you know, placeholder. There were a couple album names that ended up being used at a couple different points. So this one and how to I, you know I know this the second word the idea you know I mean it's a very well used English word ensemble, but it's you know if this is all if these two words are both supposed to be French it would be tout ensemble you know
yeah mm-hmm.
but mm-hmm. maybe it's tout ensemble. But however it's supposed to be said, you know, T-O-U-T and then ensemble. But then additionally, the other thing that then ended up coming about another album name and then and actually it ended up being a CD compilation of demos that was actually somehow put out at some point was also called another thing was called Deliverance at Hand.
Yes, Deliverance at Hand.
Yeah,
I have listened to that one, mm-hmm. Just like on a YouTube or whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, I forget the story of that. That's the one that Rivers put like the demos on for the rest of the band to for like the okay, ideas yeah. that he want. I think for sure. the ideas that he wanted potentially to for the songs to. Be on the album.
Yeah, and that's definitely some the kind of thing that I'm aware of at least you know Beatles kind of doing some similar things, you know, on their own the various band members on their own kind of coming at their homes and so forth coming up with you know creating demos on various recording devices what have you back then in the 60s to then take with you into the studio and have the other band members listen to and give their thoughts on and see how they might be able to add to and perform them fully and more normal fully produced quality but so certainly this is like an 18 track album 114 minutes 14 and a half minutes or not 114 an hour and 14 and a half minutes
there you go.
But you know and certainly there's a few besides what the Red Album is plus the demo track or plus the extra the deluxe version like four bonus tracks mm-hmm. You know there's certainly at least four more in this list than that aren't on either you know certainly the very first track is certainly one right here is Autopilot but if you say yeah you've listened to it I mean if any of those non like the four at least kind of pique your interest I mean I you know if you let us if you're aware of any or if you have a take on any of them if you want to let us know just a rough idea if they're worth you know more listening to and so forth any of them or
yeah they didn't make a huge impression no. on me honestly okay. so maybe there's a reason why they yeah. were left on the cutting room floor
mm-hmm.
so to speak. Cool. But yeah, it's a. I always get a kick out of hearing the demos, though, mm-hmm. so I try to listen to those whenever I have the chance. But yeah, speaking of the demos for the other band members, I mean, I don't know. Can we move on to talking about the album proper?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Did you have any more lead up, like the 3 years covering that time period from 2005 to 2008? Did you have anything else?
Nothing that's coming to mind.
Yeah, I think that, like, everything that you said was pretty mm-hmm. much just anything that I wanted to touch on, we already touched on. So I think we can move on.
Mm-hmm.
Because this album, I think, well, it's not the only album to have vocals by the other band members, but lead vocals, I think.
Well, yeah, lead, yeah, certainly, right, yeah. So there was one at least from each of the other three guys, one song from at least each one of them, and you know, taking the lead, because yeah, I mean, definitely, there's at least a couple of the guys in the past had done backing vocals, and maybe even all three of the current roster, which
yeah,
I mean, the current roster at this point or at this point for the Red album has stuck for ever since.
You
know, there certainly were the points earlier in the career in the band that had the other guys in. But yeah, and it was and another thing to think about too, I think a little bit, is how and maybe it kind of coincides, is yeah, it does. Like, so tracks 7, 8, and 9, I noticed, you know, the producer behind them, apparently, you know, of note is Weezer itself. For mm-hmm. these three tracks apparently were played, and it's really odd though that they were also placed where they were in the listing in the order of things, you know, that Brian Bell song, then a Scott Shriner, and then a Pat Wilson song, you know, Thought I Knew, Cold Dark World, and Automatic. They were placed at you know, out of 10 songs, it's number 7, 8, 9 in that row. And then, and there was no other producer besides the band itself of note. Whereas, you know, gosh, 5 songs were Rick Rubin songs, and then 2 were this Jackknife Lee.
Yeah, and then according to the Weezerpedia, Rick Rubin just stopped showing up for the sessions. Yeah, which seems like kind of weird.
I wonder if he had an issue with you know, the other three getting this. Lead vocal, you know, responsibility and 4 songs that they wrote too. You know, it's not just that there was a Rivers Cuomo song that was then given, although in the one case, in the Scott Shriner case, it was Rivers co-write between the two of them.
Yeah, and then you get Rivers on the on the vocals there in the chorus of that Scott Shriner song as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in whatever, however many months it takes for us to get there. But yeah, do you think that's can we talk about this? Is that a good decision to like put those lump those 3 songs together with the vocals from the other band members?
I mean, yeah, right. So it's you know, again, kind of equating it a little bit to the Beatles. I always have had a kind of fascination with how they would order their songs, and how especially for back then, it was all very much on the vinyl records, you know, the 2 sides for the record, you know, and you know, generally when George Harrison getting his usual ish 2 songs per album that he would write and also sing.
Uh-huh.
You know, usually one would be on the one side, the other one would be on the other side. They wouldn't be grouped together. And then Ringo's song would also, you know, just go wherever it goes on the album. Usually more likely the B side as well, though. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, and then, I mean, and then just otherwise too, I mean, just whether it was a John or a Paul song, it would just, you know, I always found it interesting if whenever it might, by chance, seemingly by chance, by me, from where I'm sitting, but hey, you know, I mean, that, you know, you think that they would have been thinking about it, that, hey, okay, let's not have three or four John songs all in a row. I mean, unless he just had a lot more of an output for any one album, then that might make more sense. You know, okay, let's, you know, go ahead and do that. And maybe they're on the shorter side as well. The length of them should seem to make some difference as well.
Yeah, I think so. There's all sorts of considerations when it comes to track listing. I guess, like, you gotta try to think of everything, like, every...
Yeah.
Like, how, I don't know, how good the song is like, a very difficult thing to to decide. But a lot of albums, I think, we like to put the good songs, the best songs, up front.
And for this one, they have the three singles as well. There are three out of the four singles that are the first three tracks. And then what the other one is, five or six? Six? Dreamin'? I think. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I like the having the non-Rivers songs being lumped together at the end, even though it kind of makes for an uneven album. I think I can say that. I think the first half of this album is, like, stellar, like, really great.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I like the whole thing. I like it all, I'll say that. But the back half of the album is, like, this is going to sound like I don't like it, but it's some of, like, my least favorite stuff that the Weezer has ever put out. And that's not to say that I don't like it, but it's just, like, at the bottom rung of their output for me personally. Yeah. So, but I kind of like it that way. I kind of, it's like almost like having like two albums or like two EPs or whatever. Kind of mashed into one, red album mash. But yeah. What else do we got here for what else do we need to say about this this album? Do you want to give, like, your general impression?
Yeah, you were kind of just doing that, so yeah. I mean, yeah, I kind of feel possibly the same way right now. It's a matter of, you know, when I go to listen to it, you know, I think I can kind of, you know, trail off, you know, in the latter half. I probably kind of lose a little interest, you know, with it, you know. But you know, I mean, we'll be going song by song, so I will be forcing myself for sure to pay much more attention to these latter half of the songs to be able to talk about them hopefully more fully.
Yeah, for sure. And there's, like, a cool thing that I kind of knew this already, but that I've been noticing a lot, especially with, like, Make Believe in the Red album, which I've been listening to a lot, and then you know, spoiler alert, Ratitude, I've been listening to a good amount. And those albums, like, when they came out, I wasn't that dialed into what Weezer was doing. I kind of was. I came back to them, like, a little later, some years later. But here's the point. If you, like, make yourself listen to something that you might not necessarily think is the best, like, I think there's usually, musically, you'll start liking it more. And I think that's kind of, like, a cool little trick, and I think it's, like, kind of the positive feedback loop that kind of enshrines, like, certain classic rock songs or stuff, like, oldies radio things. Yeah. Or, like, that kind of, like, once a song has a chance to get into the public consciousness, then it will stay there indefinitely. And then I just think that's a cool little thing that you can do if you ever wanted to. And I don't know, maybe the listeners are like, well, why would I want to listen to something that I don't like and make myself like it? And to that, I say, I don't know. Maybe expand your horizons, I guess, if you feel like it. But you don't need to.
And, you know, I mean, you know, comparing this to, say, whether it's, say, like, TV or movies, I mean, you know, this makes a lot more sense to do that with than those things, because those things are so much longer. You know, you could try it out and see how it goes. This that kind of methodology, kind of, and just thinking of doing that kind of thing, with a fairly short piece of media.
Yeah, you know? Definitely the time investment is it's pretty low. Pretty low stakes to listen to a song like a couple more times. Like listen to a song three times. You got like 9 minutes on your hands or whatever, depending on the song. Mm-hmm. Going with 3 minutes as the average length, I guess, if you want to. But yeah, it's not 9 minutes out of your life. You're going to be okay. But if you try to watch a movie three times in a row, that's like half your day is gone. It's a lot.
I don't like this movie, but I'm going to watch it one time, and then I'm going to watch it one more time, and then one more time on top of that. And that's like,
I'm not saying don't do it, but I don't know. Do whatever you want. It's your life.
So I want to say there might be like one last thing we could kind of delve a little bit into that I find a little interesting I kind of started off with how Weezerpedia stated it, that it was 2005 and the Make Believe album. And tour then was happening. So for this album, apparently, they called it the Troublemaker Tour, which I really like that name.
Yeah.
But then additionally, apparently, I guess it was like Weezerpedia is like saying it as being, part of just two of the songs for Beverly Hills and Island in the Sun when they would perform those on this Troublemaker Tour. Apparently, they did them or these Hootenannies, they call them, would happen for those. So, I mean, I kind of have a general take. I mean, it's kind of a like down home, country southern ish, party in a sense. But if there's, like Wikipedia itself says for it, the hootenanny word most commonly refers to a folk music party with an open mic at which different performers are welcome to get up and play in front of an audience. So, was the idea that just anyone in the audience could, or is there some kind of way that they would?
I think I've read some interviews with Rivers where they put out a call for musicians. Okay. And I don't know how much they vetted them, but I think there was like some way that they made sure that people weren't just like coming in who, I don't think that like the skill level on the instrument was necessarily like a huge factor, but they did, I think, just want to make sure that it wasn't just any old Joe Schmo or Josephine Schmosephine off of the street. So I can't remember exactly, but I think the musicians were vetted, and I remember in an interview Rivers saying that most of them knew their stuff and like were able to play the songs pretty competently on whatever instrument they decided. And I think one of the fun things is that they allowed like all sorts of band instruments or whatever, like woodwinds and brass and that sort of thing, to join in at some points. But I'm very happy that you that you Wikipedia'd Hootenanny.
Yeah,
I like that a lot, and I like to say Hootenanny. It's fun for me. I don't know what else to say about this album except for that I think it's a pretty good album.
Yeah, I'm definitely wink, wink, looking forward to some of the songs here, at least at the start. But like you say, diving in and listening fairly repeatedly, to some of the other ones I know a little bit less right now. I certainly look forward to that. And, I definitely have just in my mind, there's definitely, it hopefully couldn't be as bad as a couple of the other albums a little further down the road that you're apparently kind of digging into. One of them that I've definitely had the opinion of in my head quite a bit throughout the process of doing ever since starting the show. That's for sure. At least since then, of with Hurley and Ratitude, I think.
Yeah,
a couple of the lower points, but so I'm still in a good mind state for this album, nonetheless.
Yeah, I think there's all through all the albums there are good things to look forward to, okay. And then maybe some things that aren't as exciting. But I don't think normally there's never in any of the albums, and I think I definitely have listened to every Weezer album at least a couple times.
Yeah.
But there's never a time when I'm like, oh, this is tough to listen to, or I'm bummed that I'm listening to it. Sometimes it's just this isn't the best music that I've ever heard, but it's I put it on a bicycle ride and it's it's no worse than most other music, I would say. In fact, probably much better than a lot of other music. If we can say that. I don't know. It's all subjective.
Okay, so I don't know that there's anything else we would normally do in the past intro album special episodes, but if you wanna run down your any kind of plugs,
I guess I don't think I wrote any theme songs for this particular episode. Yeah. Mm.
That's a lie. I did record a song for this episode. Sorry.
But you heard the Feels Like Weezer theme song in the beginning of the show. And maybe, depending on how things go, somewhere in the middle as well. I wrote that song. And if you like it and you want to hear more music that might sound similar, you can check out some of my music at bandcamp.com/martindavidtapia. That's martindavidtapia.
Yeah, cool. All right, and so I've been Eric Nash. You, as I mentioned at the beginning, Almost Famous Minute is my other big show right now, that's for sure. This show, Feels Like Weezer, and Almost Famous Minute are part of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Definitely check out all the other great music shows there. And just a little, I guess, just maybe a little more personal, social media, so forth. You can find me at Lucky Mustard on Twitter, Lucky Mustardine on Instagram, and Facebook. Just don't find me there.
Yeah, but you can find the show on Facebook, right?
Definitely, yeah. For the show wise, that we have our page, which you can like at facebook.com/feelslikeweezer, and the group we have where we can talk and so forth very easily in. We'll let you in. Is at feels like Weezer listener society. Sorry.
Yeah, go. You can do it. I believe in you, Art. Yeah.
The Facebook group is at Feels Like Weezer's Listener Society.
Yeah, the Feels Like Weezer Listener Society. Yeah. Go ahead and join. You can engage with us, your favorite content creators. Well, whatever you have to say, I'll try to. I think I usually engage with most of the stuff that's posted up there. But yeah, check it out. And Eric, do you gamble? Do you ever gamble?
Pretty minimally. I've never been to Vegas.
But I have. I've been a few times, but yeah. I am cursed as a person. Oh, so I don't. Boy. I normally don't gamble because it's I have a curse on me where I lose every time. So it's not worth it for me personally. But I wonder, do you want to make a little bet as to what's going to be the next color album that comes out from Weezer?
Oh, okay.
Do you want to guess what the next album's going to be?
Is
a color album.
I mean, I think I've had it in my mind for quite a while. I might have said it once before even. I'm not sure why yellow as a primary color. It's the primary color out of the three that has yet to be an album cover by them.
Yeah, I think yellow is A good guess.
Yeah.
I didn't think too hard about this. I don't even have an answer for myself. I mean,
is there a reason they've stayed away from yellow and have gone on, you know, they've done the primary colors and even green, these three so far that we're at, one secondary color, and then they've done, you know, white and black and teal.
And teal is,
you know, is there a reason that they've avoided yellow so far?
Maybe because yellow reminds people of peepees.
Yeah. So I wonder if they could shift to the other one of the other two secondary colors of yellow or violet, as it's sometimes called violet or purple, what have you.
Yeah. I was going to say purple. That was going to be my guess. And I don't know if, like, we want to put, like, five. I don't know why I wanted to make this, like, a bet. But let's put five. I'll owe you $5 if the next one's yellow. I'm not going to go with purple because I think.
But no. Oh, okay. I like your idea, you know, that there's a possibility of yellow, of not doing yellow for a reason like that, you know, like you mentioned, or maybe there's some other ones. But so I would like to switch though to you're going to take purple as a secondary.
No, I'm not going to take purple. I was just going to say I'm not going to take purple because I think purple is way too strongly associated with Prince still, you know, all these years after his death. I think like it would have to be like a Weezer doing like a Prince themed album, and I'm not sure that's something. not something that like they could do. But I don't think that I'm not sure that it would. I just don't think they would do it for those reasons. But what color?
If I were taking yellow, though, what color would you take? And you're not taking purple. Are you thinking about orange then? Or
yeah, I was thinking about orange. Were you going to take orange?
I was if you were taking purple. I would take purple. I don't think they have that issue. It could even be more of a violet. You know, they could call it a violet, you know.
Yeah, you know what? My first inclination was to say mauve.
Yeah.
Like the mauve album.
I like the Maud album better.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be Arthur all the time.
I would love to. Yeah, just like Hurley, except for with B. Arthur's face on the cover.
Yeah. even if they did purple, I don't think they have that issue because they've already done white and black as well.
That's true. Yeah. And naming,
White album is the hugest color album ever done, I think.
Yeah.
And then the black album is damn near as huge for Jay-Z. Yeah.
That's true.
And they would stay away from anything Prince, I think.
All right, so these are big stakes, but if you want to go with purple, and I'll go with orange.
Yeah, I'll stay away from the yellow, and I'll go to purple/orange. Violet, but not.
And then let's say if it ends up being yellow, then we both owe Zach $5.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, it's a bet. Okay.
Virtual handshake, right?
Yep.
Okay. Done.
All right. Cool.
So I think that'll probably wrap it up. Bad ending as usual.
Okay, yeah, bye. We did it. Bye.
Bye, Zach.
All right, cool. Nice.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.